title did such a remarkable job this morning, bringing us the word of the Lord. And our worship service was so superb, just superb. God was pouring out his Holy Spirit, and people were dancing in the Spirit. What a great day. And then we had voices at 1 o'clock, and then we had our African immigrant service at 2 o'clock. Brother Thomas preached that service, the very first one. We're just so very thrilled that we can gather back here tonight. We have our hyphen group with us tonight. I think next week they will resume their schedule going back, having their services. But right now we're having 8 services a week, and we're just very, very thrilled about what God is doing in all these services. Pastor Roy, along with his team, has spoken to us about the organization, some of the changes and such that will help us to get more done. I tell people I don't work as hard as I did when I was a young man, but I work smarter. And so you can accomplish more when you work smarter. And this is what we're trying to do. But for the most part, we've talked about inReach teams. Tonight, we're going to be talking about outreach. Our purpose statement is very simple. It states that we are to reach up to God in worship. We are to reach into the body of Christ for discipleship. And we are to reach out into our community for evangelism. So we reach up, we reach in, and we reach out. And that pretty much covers the purpose of the church. And anything that we have going on that doesn't accomplish that, then it shouldn't be done. Now, sometimes when we're talking about reaching in, we get together and we fellowship and we goof off and poke fun at each other and say some very blistering things about each other, but it's all in fun. We have a great time of fellowship here at Calvary Gospel Church. A missionary came by and stated to me, he said, "You know, Pastor, one of the most impressive thing about your church." And I said, "What?" And I thought he was going to say, "Our worship, our praise singers," or something like that. But he didn't do that. He said, "When you dismiss the people to fellowship, you can't hardly get them to come back. They want to keep on fellowshipping." And he said, "That is so, so impressive, because so many churches have little factions and things in which people, you know, feel real cold toward each other." Praise God. Just turn to the nearest person to you, shake their hand and say, "I sure love you. I'm glad you're my brother or sister in the Lord." Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, all I said was, shake hands with the person nearest you. I didn't say move out 3 or 4 pews and start talking. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we love the Lord. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Thank you, God. We love you, God. You're so good to us. We worship you, God. You're eternal. You're everlasting. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 10. I'd like for all of you to be standing, if you would, for the reading of the Word tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, tonight, my subject title is Facing the Impossible. Facing the Impossible. Pastor Roy just talked with us about the way the population in Dane County is growing, and the number of converts we have had, people are being born, they're moving in to this area, and they're dying faster than we're able to reach them, yet we're given a mandate to reach them. And we look at time, we say, well, if I just had a little more time, but the problem is that time is probably our greatest enemy. But our greatest ally is the presence of God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And we have to realize that our greatest ally is the presence of the Holy Ghost. What we cannot do, He can do. But He works through us. When we sit down, He sits down. When we get up, He gets up. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul talks to the church at Corinth, and he talks about Israel. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, Israel's crossing the Red Sea was a type of our water baptism in Jesus' name. And Israel following the presence of God, the cloud, is a type of our baptism of the Holy Spirit. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they that drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now all these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So those things were examples for us. Now God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. You know, it's amazing to me when you read the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis covers approximately 2,400 to 2,500 years. So, there's 4,000 years in the Old Testament. So you've got 50 chapters in your Bible that takes up about this much space. And it covers more time than the rest of the Bible put together. You know, that's just amazing to me. Now you think, well, God created man after that. There was a flood, and you think about, but the flood happened a long time after creation. It didn't just happen right after creation. Now, there are things about the Old Testament, especially the book of Genesis, that I wish I had answers to, but I guess God gave me everything that I need to know. Sometimes we get so caught up in looking for the unidentified things that we end up making issues out of just suppositional things, things that we suppose were this way, we suppose they were that way. But I guess God really gave us everything we need to know. So I guess that's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. We might as well just accept it and move on. Now, I don't know how Noah got all the animals in the ark, except that I know that the animals, before the flood, they were all domestic animals, all of them. So, you know, there were no wild beasts then. And also I know that up until the flood that all people were vegetarian. They did not eat the flesh of animals. We know that because of the covenant God made with Noah. After the flood, the Bible says that God put a dread or a fear in the hearts of the animals for man, and man for the animals. So, you know, you look at a lion and And you hear him roar, and you take out running, and you look around, and lo and behold, he's running away from you too. And probably if God had have given us permission then to eat the animals as we do today, and they were all domestic, we would be killing lions off and different animals off like we kill chickens. And they would become extinct. But all of that is really beside the point. Here we find Israel in Egyptian bondage. They'd been in Egyptian bondage 400 years plus. Now it's time for them to leave. So we go to the book of Exodus. The word Exodus describes exactly what they did in the book of Exodus. They left Egypt. They made their exodus. In verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Now, this is talking about the Passover. But the Bible is saying that the beginning of the Passover, that's when they took the blood and they applied it to the doorpost of their house. And the death angel came through. The Bible says, the Lord says, now this will be the beginning of the new year. So the new year was to take place on the Passover. Now what that's telling us, if all of this happened as example for us, it's simply saying that when God calls you out of the world and you make a decision to follow him, you make that prior to your baptism, you make it prior to your spirit baptism, but when you make that decision and you start repenting and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ comes to your life or to your heart, this is the first day of real living. It's the new year for you. I count the days and the years in which I've now been filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember seeing so many of the older saints stand and say, I've had the Holy Ghost for 50 years. And I thought, man, what is that like? Now, I was filled with the Holy Ghost April 15th, 1961. So I have been filled with the Holy Ghost this coming April, 52 years. I don't feel any older. I may look older, you know. Things have changed about me, but I'm still the same John Grant. I don't feel any older. Now, I do find it easier, however, to look at young people and say, would you pick that piece of paper up out of the floor and put it in a trash can? I thought that was experience, you know, just learning to be a good leader. Then I found out, no, that's more to it than that. I don't want to move from where I am, so pick it up, okay? Now, Moses asked for permission to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. The 3 days' journey represents the three steps. They took 1 day's journey to the Red Sea. And then they crossed the Red Sea, and then they took another day's journey, offered praise to the Lord. Then they took another day's journey. So the 3 days' journey represents the three steps that we have in the plan of salvation, and that is repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Exodus 14, verse 13, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto them, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Let's say that together. Forward. I think the simple motto or word that Wisconsin uses for its logo is forward. We use that in our district. Forward. Now, this is very, very important for us to understand. They were at the Red Sea. They could not pass through the Red Sea. In other words, no way they could do this. It's too far to swim. There's just no way. And here comes Pharaoh. And so Moses is instructed of the Lord, just stand still. Just take your rod and stretch it, your staff, and stretch it out over the Red Sea. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, salvation is revelatory. It comes by revelation, and it is miraculous. Do you realize how miraculous it is when God fills a soul with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I was just noticing all of these beautiful young ladies up here, and then the two men, Marvin and Scott. I said, man, what great people. And then I look out across the congregation, and I see all of you, and you're worshiping the Lord. I think, what great people. It's a miracle, though. Because if somehow you had not have been transformed, and I viewed you through natural eyes the way you would be if you had not have found God, what kind of people would you look like? What kind of involvement would you be in? Now, you think about that. Now, I taught a lesson several years ago entitled, Why Some Churches Don't Grow. You remember that? How many of you remember that? Raise your hand. A lot of you don't remember it. And I have been asked to teach this at several camp meetings and several conferences. People just heard about it, so I've shared that with them. But basically, it's a very, very simple thing. Maybe I can come down and maybe I can get some help. So one of our newer couples, and that's Mark and Christina, I want them to come up here, okay? Mark and Christina. Now, they're very, very special. All right? These two are wanting to become three. I'm not supposed to tell that, am I? It's okay. Might as well now. I think I already have. Okay, all right, now, we're going to drop that for now, okay? Here, brother and sister Mikulski, they want to go start a home missions church. So God moves upon them, and they pray about a city, and they go. All right. So let's assume then they're in the city and they're teaching home Bible studies. And so they teach home Bible studies, and let's say they teach, Lindsay, come up here if you would, okay? All right. You want to come up here too? Come on up here, okay? All right, let's say they teach these two ladies. They win these two ladies to the Lord. Now these two ladies then, they teach others, and of course, you have some children. Let's get these beautiful young ladies to come up here. They come up and give me a hug every service. So now what you've done, you've created a larger family. And then to add to that, your own children. You know. Now then, they go and teach another couple or so. Just choose a couple people here. And you two team up and you go and teach a couple. Just choose a couple of more people, if you would, to come up here. So I, Claudia, come on up here. Rosalind, come on up here. This is not a trick or anything. I'm just going to show you what happens. Okay. Now look how large the family has grown. Now, here's what happens. This works just like, you know, if you go out on the playground, you see this seesaw or this teeter-totter, and right in the middle of it, where it's anchored, is the pivotal point of this. So it pivots up and down, up and down, up and down. Now, I call this side of the seesaw or the teeter-totter, I call this side evangelism. This side over here, though, is our in-reach ministries. Now, this is something that we have to be very careful at, see. So we're getting a family. Now, if we had a few more children to come up here and stand, you want to come up here, huh? Come up here. You're not bashful. You want to come up? Yeah, there we go. Come on up here. Okay, all right. This gentleman's going to come up here. Okay, all right. Now, you need some Sunday school teachers. Now, who are you going to choose? Let's choose somebody. It doesn't make any sense. These two ladies are right here. All right, because Sunday school is basically in reach. You step on this side of the pulpit over here. We let the pulpit be the divider. So you two step over here. They're going to teach Sunday school. Now we have some in reach programs. Now, we know that constantly our up reach to the Lord is done by all of us, whether we're involved in in-reach or outreach, so we're not going to deal with that. Now, all of those eligible for Sunday school, let's come over here, the little children, come over here, okay? And then we're going to let him stand. We need a youth leader now. So, I don't want him to be the youth leader now. Okay, so we need a youth leader. Lindsay, you'll be the youth leader, all right? And you're the young person, okay? So you come on this side over here. Now, come on, yeah, come on over here. All right, on this side. Now, let's scoot down. Let's leave this cross right in the middle. So let's scoot all the way over here. Okay, now come on over here. Now, in a physical sense, just come on this side over here. Lindsay, come over here, okay? That's it. All right, now, if in the event we don't continue to reach out to other people, then what happens is that side over there gets heavier than this side. What happens when it gets heavier? It goes down, doesn't it? And when it goes down, guess what happens? Attendance also starts going down. So what we have to do, we've got to add to this side. So the teachers that we had that are over here doing something else, if they continue to teach or they continue to invite people and they win people to the Lord, they're added and they're on this side. So this side must grow in direct proportion to this side. Churches that have strong in-reach programs, like we have when we talk about our life classes, our ladies' ministries, our youth ministries, we have to be very, very careful, because when they have strong in-reach ministries, after a while, they're doing nothing but training their own people. Do the people grow in the Lord? They grow in the Lord only to a point. The problem is that they're maturing, but they're not reaching. See, we have a mandate to reach the world. Would you believe that, statistically speaking, after 10 years of growth, most churches do not grow one bit after that? They may be 50, 75 years old, and they haven't grown any more after that, because they spend all their time. Then see, you get a ladies' auxiliary leader. Claudia, come over here, if you would. Okay. Then you get a prayer director. Come over here if you would. Okay. And then what happens is we find a ministry for everybody. Rosalind, you want to go on that side? I don't know what ministry you'll have, but you'll have a good one, okay? So here we are. Now, the pastor then, because he sees all of these, and he's got to give his monthly Bible study, and he's got to feed these people, he and his wife then move on this side. Down it goes. And the problem is then, the attendance then is going to go down. Some of these are going to leave the church. Some of them are going to move away someplace. The elderly will pass away. After a while, you know, we become traditional. We look back and say, oh my, one thing about our church has been this way for 75 years, never changes. Boy, I really like this. People love ruts. They just get right down in the groove of it, and they just love it. They love doing the same thing, parking in the same place, sitting on the same pew, singing the same chorus. Oh, I love these courses. Don't teach me any new ones. These are just so, oh, my. After a while, they're just as traditional as some of the ecclesiastical churches, even though they're talking about the ecclesiastical churches, but they are just as traditional. Now, if God wants to save a soul, he's got a problem. Because these people have been inactive in soul winning. Let me tell you something. If you're inactive in soul winning for a while, and when I say for a while, a year or so, if you've taken off, you probably never will win the lost to the Lord unless some great miracle takes place. And we're hoping that tonight is the miraculous night for you. Now, what you have to do then, you're going to have to shift this somehow. You're going to have to say to all the children in your class, bring your friends. Bring them to Sunday school. So you not only make this Sunday school an inreach in which you're teaching the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes and everything, but you're also teaching them the plan of salvation. So let's say if these four, if they brought, let's say, 12 to church, okay, you go into the youth class, and let's say these handsome young men that we have, if they bring, most time it's girls, I guess, if they bring people to church with them and those people, and what you have to do, in every inreach program, there has to be a flavor of outreach. And maybe I should say it has to be more than just a flavor of outreach. And so these teachers are telling these little kids that come in, let me talk with your mom and let me talk with your dad. You say, you know, I'd like to teach you a home Bible study. I'd like to engage you in the word of the Lord. We'll come to your house. Now what you're doing then, you're loading up the other side now. Now you may not have moved them totally back, but they've come from way out there, just moved back in here. They've come from way out here, just slide in here real close. And they're packing this to the point that they're pushing over on the outreach. The pastor and his wife then, they say, you know, we used to teach home Bible studies. Why can't we do it again? You know? And so you teach home Bible studies. So you begin to load this side up. Now, trust me, if the ministries of Calvary Gospel Church ever get overbalanced, in which we are spending more time in inreach than outreach, we're going to have one fantastic fellowship that's going to stay right like it is. And that's it. And we're all going to live happily ever after until the rapture takes place. But what about the thousands that don't know the Lord in the power of the Holy Ghost? What about all these lost people in Dane County? God didn't save me and save you just to make you feel comfortable sitting on a pew when the preacher preaches about the rapture. He saved us to win the lost. And that is so important for us to understand. I'll have these people to be seated. We have such a great, and thank you so much for helping, a great fellowship here at Calvary Gospel Church. And I'm going to break into this. We have a video, a DVD, that's prepared for us for this service by our very own Andrea Sotil. And she has done a phenomenal job with this. And I want you to stand up, Andrea, if you would. Come on, stand up. She said no. Give her a great big hand, all right? And we want to play this for you at this time. And as soon as this is over, Brother Mark Kelsey is going to come up here and take the mic. He's going to talk to you about some things about outreach.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First of all, with all this, we just want to give glory, honor, and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ who gives the increase, because without God, none of this would be possible. Without God, we're just out there doing it by our own will, which will never work. We want to thank every ministry of Calvary Gospel Church, because we did look deep into it and everything that we did last year, and there was somebody involved. You might not know who that person was, but Sunday school, hyphen, youth, ladies ministry, men's ministry, CIP, every ministry, there was somebody involved there. And we want to say thank you. You all had a hand in reaching these souls. We know we live in a busy world today, but even your prayers contributed. As Lindsay said, even buying water bottles contributed. And we want to say thank you. You know, we all are rejoicing in these souls that have been touched. Some have given words of wisdom and advice to many of us, and we have taken heed to those words when we go out and reach into the community. Some of you have been doing this longer than I've been alive, and we're thankful for that. I want to give a sincere thank you to the members who've been just sticking it out all year long. Special thank you to Andrea. I know she doesn't want me to say that, but thank you. She spent a lot of time putting this video together. These people are relentless, relentless when it comes to reaching the lost. We get a lot of no's, but we don't stop. We just keep taking them and keep going. We got a lot of things going on this year for outreach training classes. Something like door knocking. You know, a lot of people might not feel comfortable with that, witnessing on a city bus, witnessing at your job. But that's okay, because that's part of the in-reach. That's part of the training. That's part of us. You know, we're doing this together. I for sure didn't just come in here like, oh yeah, that's what you do. Ha, it's that easy. Come on down to the altar. No, I God had to pull me back and forth, back and forth. So we're encouraging anyone who's feeling a call to be involved to just join us. You can either contact me or my wife right there. And as Pastor said, we are expecting a baby, so... There's going to be a lot going on this year. Lastly, I cannot forget this awesome pastoral staff and the godly women that support them. I don't know if many of you realize, but we are blessed beyond words to have a pastoral staff that is faithful, that is committed, that not only wants to raise us up, but see them saved out there and see many of you grow in the Lord. We're so thankful. To Pastor Grant, we share your vision of 20,000 souls. We believe in that vision, and we believe it is coming soon. To Pastor Thomas, Pastor Thomas is like a spiritual father most of the time, and like a spiritual big brother sometimes too. He has so much fun out there with us. You wouldn't believe he's a day over 20, and we love laboring alongside him. Pastor Roy, we too believe the time is now. The time is now. We believe something exciting is going to happen today, this year. Calvary Gospel Church, there is a world out there in our community, in Madison and Dane County, people addicted to drugs, people strung out on heroin, people at the bars, people in the methadone clinic, people suffering from an addiction of pornography, you name it, it is out there. But Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We are reaching out. People are going to get prayed through the Holy Ghost on the buses. They're going to get prayed through at the parks. They're going to get prayed through wherever we go. They're going to get healed. They're going to be touched in Jesus' name. We believe it. We are claiming it right now in the name of Jesus. 33 filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to stretch way beyond that. Way beyond that. And we believe it's going to happen. And if you feel at all any kind of draw to do something more, just act upon it. Just act upon it. It's so easy. You might not have had to suffer the addiction that some people have, but you got the Holy Ghost inside of you. If you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, that's what they want. That's what they need. They need a testimony of what God can do for them. So we just want to, it's a thank you, but it's also an invitation to come out, join us. Some of you might think we're crazy. We're just, you know, we have fun with it. We have fun with it, but it is serious. As Pastor Roy said, it's a numbers game that we seem to be losing, but that doesn't mean we give up or that doesn't mean we slow down. We just got to strive harder. So I want to thank you all. Thank the pastoral staff. God bless you. And there's going to be a lot of victory reports coming up. Praise God.
That's it. Let's put our hands together for our outreach team. Thank you, Lord. 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 We have been talking to Brother Thomas, and he's been talking to our various departments, setting goals for souls this year. We haven't had them all turned in as of now, but I wanted to set a goal for 300, and then after several departments turned in their goals, we were at 351. This past year, we had 268 new births. Most all of those were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, but we count it as a new birth if they're baptized or if they're filled with the Holy Ghost. But most all of our people are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But the outreach and bus ministry that have been combined, they set 100 souls for their goal this year. It's very aggressive. But, you know, I'm not saying this just to make this message better. But I really feel something big in God. I feel something great in God. Something bigger than we've never seen before. The CIP and the prison ministry, Brother Hawk is over those at this time. Now, Brother and Sister Hawk are down in Independence, Missouri. He has given a seminar and preaching there this weekend. They're opening a CIP program in our church there, so he's traveling for a Spirit of Freedom this weekend. But they set 50. Our youth set 30, and I think this past year, Carl, you had 16 people filled with the Holy Ghost. The Sunday school set 40. The African immigrants set 75 people. We'll win 75 people this year. The Allied Drive Extension, they set 50 people. Sister Willie Mae came to me this past week, and she was so down about, she goes out and knocks on doors, and she's been knocking on doors and knocking on doors and knocking on doors and feeling that she hasn't been very successful, and she wanted me to help her pray about this. I thought of Pastor Roy when he was preaching about Noah's last message. Did you know that Noah preached 130 years and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, for which he condemned the world and never won one soul? Not one. But you see, the soul winning's not left up to us. The preaching of the gospel is left up to us. We can't win a soul. We really can't. We talk about soul winners, but all we can do is preach the gospel and leave it up to the Lord. So we need a miracle. We actually need a miracle, a real miracle. I had the opportunity to talk with someone that's not real involved, that's not here tonight, but I had permission to mention some things that we talked about. We talked about the will of God. You know, how do you know the will of God? Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2. I just want to go over something, and I'm not going to be at this very long. But Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when you present your body a living sacrifice, what does that mean? That means you're praying, God, it's not my life, it's your life. It's not about me, it's about you. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Now, you cannot find the will of God if you're worldly minded. Can't. You'll struggle with it. You'll struggle with discontentment. In your mind, you'll always be restless, wanting something bigger and better, but the bigger and better comes only when you have determined in your mind, I'm not going to be conformed to this world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, transform means a change by the renewing of your mind. Let me ask you this. Are you willing, as you hear me speak tonight, are you willing to change your mind about certain things? You see, when God does something great, he always uses a human being. And if God wants to do something great in your life, and you're not willing to change your thinking to accommodate what he wants you to do, then how's it going to happen? Not going to, is it? So if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. Isn't that true? So I want you to just think about this for a moment. Are you willing to change your thinking? Now, while you're thinking about this, let me tell you the reason why. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this is the formula for finding the will of God. It's so simple. I hear this all the time. I don't know the will of God. I wish I knew the will of God. And yet the formula is right here in the Bible. It's like I tell people, now if you want to be spiritual, please don't set a date to start. If you want to be spiritual, just be spiritual now, right now. Just say, before this service is over, I'm changing. Things are going to be different. I'm going to be spiritual right now. And don't wait for something phenomenal to happen. Just be spiritual now. But at the same time, be committed. Be yielding. Let God have his way. Now, the will of God, here's how the will of God works. The will of God works this way, and that is that as you determine that you will be spiritual, then when you see something that needs to be done, then you go do it. Because most people that talk about the will of God, they're talking about something's going to happen 10 years from now. They see themselves highly productive 10, 15, 20 years from now. They see this, all these souls that they've won. But the truth of the matter is, the will of God takes place in your life every day. It has to be that way. Why should God show you 10 years from now when you're not willing to do today what you know that you need to do? That's how you prove the will of God. I can tell you this. In the years that I've been walking with God, 50-something years, I have never struggled with the will of God. I've changed locations. I started a church in Cushing, Texas, one in Shawano, one in La Crosse, and came over here. And I can tell you, I could almost count the hours that I prayed and struggled with the will of God. It was short-lived. In other words, the door just opened. If you're doing today what you know you need to do, you don't have to worry about tomorrow because the door will be open. But why should God show you what's going to happen 10 years from now if you won't do it today? Tell me, why is he obligated to do that? You say, oh, but I've been promising God. Could I tell you one thing about God? When he forgives your sins, he casts them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. He's not impressed with your past, and he refuses to remember it. If God is not impressed with your past and he refuses to remember it, don't you think he also is not so much impressed with all of your promises? Now, you need to make promises, but I'm talking about just going, making them every time you come to the altar, every time church, every time somebody preaches. Got to recommit, got to recommit, got to recommit, got to recommit. So he says, look, I'm not impressed with what you see 10 years. I'm not impressed with what you plan on doing 5 years from now. I want to know what you're going to do now. Right now. This very day. Oh, let's lift our hands and worship the Lord, would you? My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I'd like for you to stand with me. Just go ahead and stand with me right now. You would. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Joshua, the third chapter, verse 4. He's taken the reins from Moses, taken Israel across Jordan's River into the promised land. And this is what he said. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, talking about the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. In other words, God is out in front leading us to a path, to a life, to something exciting that we've never done before, never experienced it before. I want to go forward. I want to grow in God. I said, I want to go forward. I want to grow in God. I want to be a part of what God is doing in Dane County. Till I draw my last breath, I want to have a dream. I want to have a vision. I want to see. I want to possess. I want to be profitable. Zechariah, the 4th chapter, verse 6. Zerubbabel was instructed as he was going back to rebuild the temple or help rebuild the temple. He said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Time may be a great enemy to us, but the ally that we have, that is the Holy Ghost, is our greatest friend. And when we feel that we're facing the impossible task, no, we're not either. Don't tell me that God sent us into Dane County to win this and preach the gospel to every creature here and gave us a task that cannot be done. He did not do that. Now, it may not be done the way we're thinking. It may not be done by our traditional methods. It may not be done without us changing our mind. But if changing our mind is necessary to see it, then I'll say, at the direction of the Holy Ghost, let's change our mind. Who would have ever thought when Brother Nikilski and Sister Christina and their group started going out, who would have ever thought that 33 people would be filled with the Holy Ghost in the parks this past year. And I'm hoping when they stand up this next year, they're going to say, guess what? We had a goal of 100. We saw 100 filled with the Holy Ghost in September or so. We just blew right by that. Lift your hands as our praise singers sing. Would you do that? Let it happen. If you intend to commit yourself to outreach, and by outreach, we're not talking about the outreach team. We're talking about just winning people to the Lord, inviting people to church. Why don't you step forward, recommit right now. Come on. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, Lord. Ashaka rababa ya mandala baba ya mandala baba.